Hello, hello, guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon. And today we're diving deep into a different kind of beauty. It's financial freedom and leverage and power for us women who work, people who are entrepreneurs out there listening. We're going to interview Nate Hambrick. He is an entrepreneur and speaker and author of two great books and many more other books, but the ones I know him best for are Crush Your Kryptonite and The 18 Laws of Leverage. Nate turned his life around mastering the art of building passive income, and he's going to talk to us today about how to do that. So whether you're a beauty entrepreneur, a boss who wears scrubs like me, or someone who's ready to stop trading your time for money, it's time for you to listen in and learn about leverage. Welcome, Nate.
Thanks so much for having me. It was a pleasure meeting you a few weeks ago, and I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, we met at Camp Be More, which was such a fun and entrepreneurial type of mindset event, I thought, with Shalene Johnson. That was great. We were at booths right next to each other. So it was like the universe brought us together. And for people who want to publish, you have a lot of publishing knowledge. How many books have you written altogether?
So I have two under my name, and then I've helped publish somewhere in the ballpark of 940 to 950 authors. It is hard to count when you get to that number, so I'm pushing 1,000 authors at this point.
Dang, that's terrific. So you have a lot of experience writing and fine-tuning and getting a messaging out there.
Just a little, yeah.
Just a little. Well, you've written about the 18 laws of leverage. Can you kind of break down what does that mean to you and how does it give you the keys to exponential wealth and freedom?
Yeah, so leverage is basically the difference between the input and effort that you give and the result or the impact that you have with that, right? So if you're spending a 5-hour workday or a 10-hour workday, what effort are you giving? And then what is the end result and impact, monetarily speaking, at the end of it? And the goal with leverage is to give the same amount of input, but make sure that your inputs are all maximized. So your output, right? The results you get, the impact you have at the end of that input is maximized.
That idea. I think we don't even think about leveraging our time. We just spend it so freely when it's actually the freaking most valuable asset that we actually have, right?
Yep. Ask any wealthy old billionaire if they'd give all their money away to get back their time, and they'd say yes. And so I'm not telling you that to say don't go after wealth. Go after wealth. Just realize that your health and your age and every day, every moment is of infinite value.
Now, what do you do if you've worked your way onto this treadmill of busyness where you're running around hustling and like you have to do that to some extent to reach some form of success and financial freedom, but then how do you pull back from the running around, like a chicken with your head cut off? Because that happens to me.
Yes, it does. So law 15, don't do things you hate. And then law 2, which is use other people's time, both speak about that. I'm a big believer that once you're in a position to, don't do anything you don't hate. And I know that is a wild belief to have, but I do it in my own life and I encourage other people to do that.
Don't do anything you hate, of course. That sounds so easy, but like, I don't know. I mean, I hate having to get up on time. I'd rather sleep.
Sure. And at the same time, you'd be amazed at how many, decamillionaires or people that are worth $100 million plus, are just like you that have figured out how to generate tens of millions of dollars, a year and wake up at 11 a.m., right? They're out there, right? Justin Donald, I have his book in the background. He's figured out how to work 15, maybe 20 hours a week, spend the rest with his family and friends, and he still makes, I don't know exactly what he makes, but many millions of dollars a year. And so, to answer your question, right, when you're at a space where you can, if you do own your own business, law number two, buy back your time with using other people's time. So anything that you don't want to do, getting up early, whatever those things are, you can find ways to outsource that work to other people that you trust, outsource that work to other businesses in exchange for a small affiliate fee, outsource that work to VAs, other employees. And it is scary, but the more you get used to outsourcing all that work, the more time you have to spend doing things you actually want to do. And whenever you free up that bandwidth, it's kind of funny how wealth also comes your way just because you're spending time on your genius, versus doing all the things that you hate.
I've sometimes found that when I outsource things, everything looks good superficially. And then when you really go back and look at the nitty-gritty of it's not being done to the standard that you yourself want it done to. Like you have to let go of your perfectionism But where's the cutoff with that? Because like half of what makes me who I am is being the perfectionist that I am. And I mean, as a plastic surgeon, I'm responsible for very important detail-oriented stuff.
Yeah. So, without knowing the intricacies of your business, I'm going to assume you doing the surgeries is something you can't outsource. So if you don't like that, maybe
Besides
find a new profession. But
that,
all the other stuff, you're right. There is a loss of quality sometimes when you outsource. And so one of the things I learned from, there's a conference called Sphere Rocket. It's all about outsourcing work. One of the things I learned from their head is he not only outsources work to other people, he outsources the micromanaging and the leading of those people as well. And so it's multiple layers of outsourcing. Yes, he outsources all the tasks, but he himself doesn't have a much enough emotional bandwidth to make sure everything's done properly. So what did he do? He hired somebody he really trusted or upgraded somebody that he already worked with to manage all the other employees that he had. And so you can buy your time back in at multiple levels.
That's true. It just there's a time commitment and finding the right person to do the right task just takes out a long time to do that. In our industry, there are a lot of female entrepreneurs who run their own med spas, who are selling skincare, who are building, multi-billion dollar corporations. What can they start to do to create passive income and passive revenue alongside their active businesses?
Yeah, so if for those of you who are listening right now and you already have dispensable or disposable income, if you already have enough capital to invest into assets, the easy answer is just start investing into syndicated real estate, syndicated oil and gas, syndicated ATM funds. There's a lot of different syndicated funds. Talk a lot about that in Law 17 of the 18 Laws of Leverage. And the simple version is this: you literally just find people already doing it. You write them a $100,000 check or a $500,000 check, and they write you a check of profit every single month. And you do basically nothing. I own oil wells in Wyoming, Colorado. I own real estate all over the world, and I do literally nothing, right? I wrote them a check and they pay me every single month on the first or the fifth. So if you've already got capital, that's the simple answer. Just make sure that you're educated enough to make wise investment decisions, find the syndicators, write them a check, and that's it. Easy. Not to mention the tax benefits, which we could definitely talk about here in a bit. But if you're still trying to get enough income to do that, buy back your time, like we just talked about, right? Figure out ways to make sure you're spending your time on the highest leverage activities. And one of the tips and tricks that I've found to be very helpful in my life is I like to automate, not itemize, sorry, itemize everything that I do in any given day and assign a dollar value to each task I'm currently doing. And then all the tasks that are at the bottom, all the things like mowing my lawn, taking care of the dishes, all the things that need to be done, but aren't high leverage, high value activities, I outsource all of that. And then with that newfound time, I now have time to make a lot more revenue. And then with that added revenue, guess what? I can hire more people and continue to expand my dollar per hour time. And then once I have more of that, guess what? I have capital to invest in real estate. And so all of these things work like a flywheel. The more that you leverage one aspect of your life, the more time you have to leverage all the others.
What kind of mental kryptonite did you have to overcome personally? Because that is probably the first step to deciding that you should buy back your time is getting over
Sure.
some mental baggage.
I mean, I have so many kryptonites. I'm a human being just like you and everybody else listening. I would say one of my big kryptonites that I've had consistently is just decision fatigue. And I talk about this in my first book, Crush Your Kryptonite, where a lot of times I fall into the trap of spending time on decisions that don't really matter. And then by the time I get to the big important decisions, I have so much decision fatigue, I make the wrong decision. So what I mean by that is, and I'll use a ridiculous example, but brushing your teeth at night. If I put myself in a position where I have to decide, do I brush my teeth or not every single night? And then I did that with every other small decision from eating to healthcare to all of that, I would be exhausted by the end of the day. So what do? I make the decision once, I don't make that decision again, and then I'm kind of on autopilot for a lot of those things so that I have the bandwidth to make those big critical decisions. So decision fatigue is a big one for people. Another big one is just procrastination once again. Mm-hmm. Decision fatigue is a big reason that people procrastinate, right? I'm a firm believer that people aren't lazy. They just don't have the right process or the right person to help. So once you start figuring out what those kryptonites are, and you can absolutely crush them, it gives you more bandwidth and space to crush other kryptonites in your life.
What are your tips for procrastinators? I think I have the same two issues that you do. And I think too long, too much research before just launching.
Yeah. So for certain decisions, you need to do a ton of research. So give yourself permission, right? If you're making a big decision, like who to marry, what city to move to, what neighborhood to buy a house in, spend a lot of time making those decisions. That is not procrastinating. Procrastinating usually comes whenever there are small decisions that we don't just make those snap decisions. And so give yourself permission for decisions that don't really matter or decisions that you can fix quickly. Just make decisions as quickly as humanly possible, right? You want to buy a couch, go buy a couch, right? You know, you don't have to spend forever on that unless there's information I don't have. Be quick with most decisions, but spend time on the decisions that really, really matter.
Now you emphasize sort of simple systems and frameworks for life. What's kind of one overlooked habit or framework that can really change someone's trajectory?
Ooh, good one. I would say the how question. So the how question has absolutely changed my life. We all know people, including ourselves, right? Whenever we talk about a goal, a dream, something we want, and we give some sort of lame excuse. Oh, I could never do fill in the blank, whatever that is for you. Oh, I can't do this because this. I can't do this because this. All you have to do is rephrase it as a how question. So going back to our earlier questions, right? How can I make the income I want while still being a present father, spouse, parent, right? It's a great question. When you ask yourself that how question, it forces your brain to come up with a solution, right? So step one is to visualize or verbalize what you actually want. That's the first key. The second piece to that is to ask yourself, how can I get there? And then the third piece is the part we all want to avoid, which is just go do it, right? It's going to be hard, right? Any goal worth doing is going to be hard. Just go freaking do it, right? Your future self will thank you.
That's a really good advice right there. Do you feel like there are certain things people can leverage in certain age groups? Like if you're in your 30s, this is the first best thing you should leverage in your 40s and your 50s.
Yeah. I mean, there's an infinite, we live in a big world. So there are so many different ways you can apply the laws of leverage. What I will say is when you're younger, developing rare and valuable skill sets might be one of your highest points of leverage. And it doesn't matter what happens with the U.S. economy. It doesn't matter what happens to the U.S. dollar. The U.S. dollar could go to zero and we start trading Bitcoin or seashells, right? It doesn't matter. If you have rare and valuable skills, you're going to be able to trade your skill sets to other people with rare and valuable skill sets. And so I always tell folks when I meet people in their early 20s, you know, what cryptocurrency do I invest in? What real estate do I buy? And I always tell them, focus on your skill sets first. Once you nail that, once you have high value skill sets, now you have capital that you can invest in buying back your time. You can invest in buying real estate. You can, there's so many different places that you can invest once you have the skill set. So I would say skill sets first. Once you have that piece figured out, don't do things you hate, right? That'll change your life, right? Focus on your health, all that kind of stuff. And then you can focus on the wealth portion. And there are so many different ways that you can find leverage in wealth. One of the other laws of leverage is creating products once that you can sell infinitely, right? My book is a great example of this, right? I created the book once, I'll sell hundreds of thousands of copies, right? I created music once, I've sold millions of songs on Spotify, etc. So there's a lot of opportunity for those who are looking for it.
Interesting. You have law number five, charge for your brand to build your brand. Explain that.
Yep. So I actually talk about this in the book. I call it the Ariana Grande principle. So if you don't know this about the music industry, I was in the music industry for a while. People think the most talented artists make it to the top. I disagree. I think it's the artists that have $2 million to market their song to the top 40s list that end up being the most successful. That's roughly what it costs in ads, by the way. It's about $2 million, give or take. The challenge is most artists don't have enough capital to pay for enough ads to make a wave in people's everyday life. So what do? You charge for the brand you already have. So anything you can charge for in your business, charge for it, and then immediately take that capital and put it into advertising your way to the next level. So I'll give you an example that isn't music because, you know, most likely most people aren't musicians here, but let's say you're in sales or you're a business owner, right? You already have clients who are buying other things, right? You have a reputation that people believe in. Take that reputation and charge for your brand by referring clients who already love you to other establishments and then charge them a 10 to 20% affiliate fee. That adds up to big money. Now you have a lot of capital that you could just spend on your family and your income, but I'd advise to take that capital and immediately put it into advertising your business to that next level. So if you're not in the position to drop $3 million on ads, that's fine. Figure out how to charge your current customers in other ways to build up the capital to be able to advertise your way to the next level.
Interesting. So that goes along with use other people's money and use other people's time. You're another two of your laws.
Sure. And usually, like whenever I say, you know, use other people's money, usually that's in the context of I'm raising capital to invest in my business to then go do it, right? Charging for your brand is similar because you are taking money from an affiliate company. So it's just two sides of the same coin. But yeah, you're on the right track there.
Love that. Is there some kind of financial freedom that you recommend for women to start working on for themselves? A lot of our listeners are women, they're in beauty, they have, you know, busy boss girl lives, but I think they don't think about that financial freedom side of life. They're so busy and taking care of kids, taking care of the house, taking care of everything.
Yeah, so I think financial freedom gives you time freedom. And for most people, time freedom is what we're actually after. And, you know, I don't want to speak for my wife, but I'll tell you, time freedom is so important to her. Now, it might manifest itself in financial freedom, right? You need financial freedom to have time freedom. But I think setting your life up by design is very undervalued. When you can start implementing some of these practices, when you can start buying passive income, you start making $5,000 passive a month, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 a month. What it does is enable you to prioritize the things that you actually truly value and care about. And for most people, I'll speak for myself, I value my wife and kids, right? I value spending time with them, investing in them in tangible and intangible ways. And so there are lots of ways to develop passive income, but ultimately it's to change your lifestyle. So whenever you do get passive income or whatever that is, right? Whether it's passive or whether it's active income that you're making at a higher level so that you can work fewer hours, create the life that you want, right? Don't just keep doing the same thing. Change your life in ways that you actually want.
That's pretty hard to do, I think, isn't it?
I'd say so. Yes and no. It's hard in the fact that very few people do it. It's easy in the fact that you can consciously make the choice to change it. I am not special. Right. I have friends that, you know, they're special in their own ways, but
you are.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm an average person, and you meet all of these special people and you realize that they're average people that just did extraordinary things. And so it is hard in the fact that very few people do it. But it's not hard in the fact that I think almost anyone can choose to do it. You just have to choose to do it. And then, you know, I'll share a little thing from my own life. Right. It's so easy for me to just go back to old patterns of workaholism and work every single hour of the day. It is my default, right? But I have lots and lots and lots of conversations with my wife. I have lots and lots of times where I process what I actually want and then I choose something different. So it is very achievable. You just have to go do it.
That's so true. What's one thing you wish everyone understood about money that people completely don't understand, they miss?
One thing about money that most people miss, there's lots of it. There's tons and tons and tons and tons of money. You go to these conferences, almost everyone there has money, and there's millions of people, right? Millions and millions and millions of people that have tons of money. I think a lot of people have a scarcity mindset around money, which is understandable, right? If you don't have money or your friends don't have money, it's easy to believe other people don't, but they do. Now you just have to develop your skill set to go get you some. So I think money is more abundant than people realize.
I think you're right. What's coming up next for you? I know you have a lot of passion projects going on. Anything special that you can talk about? Platforms, projects, passions?
Yeah, so I just launched the 18 Laws of Leverage about 8 weeks ago. Go check it out on Amazon or everywhere books are sold. And for the physical versions, it comes with a free audiobook. So definitely check that out. If you are serious about investing and getting passive income in your life, you can also go to natehambrick.com. I have free trainings on how to buy some passive income to improve your life. So go check it out.
I love that. What's another book that every young person should read besides yours?
So I'm very, it's very categorical. So depending on what you need to improve in your life, go buy the book on that. In fact, I do have a reading list inside of the 18 Laws of Leverage. Some of my favorite books, behind me, I have Who Not How. That's a great book if you want to dive deeper into outsourcing work. If you're looking to learn more about syndicated real estate, Lifestyle Investor by Justin Donnell is a fantastic book. If you're looking to get better at sales, $100 Million Offers by Alex Hormozi is a fantastic book. If you couldn't tell already, I read a lot of books. And so if you don't, actually, here's something great. For those of you listening at home, if you're not reading lots of books, or if those books aren't making tangible changes in your life, change it, right? Either increase the number of books that you're reading or find books that actually solve tangible challenges for your life. And then I want to give you permission to quit books quickly. I actually stole this from one of my heroes, Naval Ravikant. He has a book called The Almanac of Naval Ravikant. And one of the things he talks about is anytime you're reading a book and it's boring or it's not changing your life, quit that book immediately and go find a book that'll change your life. That has absolutely changed my life. I quit so many books on the third chapter. I quit so many books on the 10th page. If it's not adding value to my life, if it's not getting me fired up to go make changes in my life, that's not the book I need at that moment. I'll go find a book that solves an actual tangible challenge immediately.
I love that. I do the same thing, even for especially TV shows, podcasts, or Netflix, or anything. Don't feel committed to, you're not failing if you're not following through to the end. It's a waste of time.
I love it.
What's one non-financial luxury we should never skimp on? And we can just end with that.
Non-financial luxury. I mean, your health and family. We've kind of talked about these in a few different angles. But going back to the example I used earlier, right? You meet any billionaire in their 70s or 80s, they would charge all of their wealth for their health. They all would, right? So prioritizing.
And a few more years, the whole longevity kick right now is huge because they want those few more years. They can afford to buy them or try to buy them.
Yep. So if you still got a few more years in you, don't wait till you're at the end of your life to start buying your years back. Buy your health back now, right? My wife and I, we've been on a health kick, right? We've got the Berkey water purifier. We've been getting the toxins out of our lives and we feel awesome, right? And the funny thing is we did it because we had a son and we did it for him. But now that we've done it for him, it's amazing how much healthier and happier we are just cutting toxins out of our lives. So that's a non-financial asset that is worth its weight in gold.
I agree. People need to invest more in themselves and do it early. And also just enjoy these youthful years when you have mobility and health and you're not frail. This is the time to really take risks and do things. Well, so I can't thank you enough for coming on the podcast. It was very motivational. You guys have to read the 18 Laws of Leverage. I already skimmed the beginning of the book and I'm going to dive deep into the chapters that apply to me, but for sure, buy back your time is a huge one. And I think people should all read this. Nate, where can they buy your book again? And also with Crush Your Kryptonite, where can they get that?
Amazon and everywhere books are found.
Love it. And your Instagram and social media handles?
So I am not on social media, except for Facebook. But you can, I know. I'm one of those, I don't know, yogi master. So I am off social media, but you can find me at natehamburg.com. Feel free to reach out if you need anything. And absolutely, you know, let me know what you think of the 18 laws of leverage.
That's it for now, guys. Don't forget to find me on my Instagram. It's Beauty by Dr. K, D-R-K-A-Y. And our website is the same, beautybydrk.com. And I'm going to work on buying back my time. That's a commitment I want us all to make this year. That's it for now, guys. Stay beautiful.